Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of John, not Luke, but John. We are actually in Luke 22:54-62. We're in the official time of Christ's trials, and I'm going to take a couple of Sundays here and spend some time. I don't know if it's for my benefit or your benefit or for everybody's benefit, but I want to concentrate on the history of Christ's trials. He had six of them, some informal, some formal. His abuse at the hands of the people who had arrested him started right immediately. But I want to show you a little chart. It's not worth printing, but this is the high priest. Annas was the high priest, and he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sons, a son-in-law, and a grandson. Now, in Jewish tradition, the high priest served for life. But in the Roman tradition, they kept swapping them out. They felt like it was too much of a political football for them not to swap it out. The high priest had a lot of power in Israel. So Annas was a high priest, and he should have been high priest for life, but he was high priest from A.D. 6 to A.D. 15. And then Rome swapped out his sons, and in different order, not the order in which they were actually born. After Annas was his son Eleazar, and then his son-in-law Caiaphas. Well, Caiaphas was the priest, the high priest that year, says John, and we'll see that in John 18. After Christ was arrested, you know, starting, we're not exactly sure, but probably in the evening, maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock, something like that, when the soldiers came and arrested him in the garden. And so that's what we saw last week. The first thing that they did was take him from the garden in Gethsemane to Annas' house. And it would have taken them quite a while, about an hour, probably more than that. It was an hour, a little over a mile in distance from the garden to Annas' house. So you're talking about a couple of hundred people at night with torches, through the valley, the Kidron Valley. It's going to take a significant time for that group to get to the house of Annas, and it's not a short distance. I live 2 miles. If I had to walk, you know, half that way, a little over half that way, with 200 people at night, that's not a quick process. It's going to take a while to do that. But probably they got to his house about 11 o'clock. And you have that account only in one gospel. There's only one gospel that talks about the hearing at Annas' house, and that's in John 18. And we can pick it up at verse 12. You'll see in verse 11 where the servants, well, verse 10, Peter, how we know which of Christ's disciples whacked Malchus's head. That was Peter, verse 10, and Christ healed the ear and told him, no, don't fight on this. All right, let's look at verse 12. Then the detachment of troops and the captain of the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. That is, after they picked themselves up off the ground and dusted themselves off, after Christ said, I am, and they fell backwards, verse 6. They led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. See that phrase, that year, in verse 13. All right, I'm in John chapter 18. That's where I started. I'm sorry. I said, don't turn to Luke, turn to John. It's because y'all weren't listening. I never do that. All right, let's start over. We are going to be in Luke, but nobody except John does the first trial. There's six trials. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's six trials of Christ. Two of them are at night and are illegal. The trip to Anna's house has no legal bearing, and the time in Caiaphas' house has no legal bearing. They're illegal. They're illegal because it was illegal for the Jews to convene at night. It had to be during the day. But we're just going to look at two of the trials and focus this morning specifically on Peter. All right, Peter has made the statement that he's ready for anything, ready to die, ready to go into prison. He gets out the sword. He whacks Malchus, one of the priest's servants, quacks off his right ear. Christ heals it and says, no, put it away. And so that's where we are. Now, in John chapter 18, we're going to go to Annas' house. It's the only gospel that records this first trip. That's why John, as he's writing this, explains they went first to Annas' house. Now, they went to Annas' house because he was the high priest. But in Jewish understanding, once a priest, once high priest, you're high priest for life. Rome comes in and swaps them out, but they have a Roman structure who's high priest this year, but in their minds they still think Annas is high priest. But it was a bought position, and all of his sons, five sons, plus a son-in-law and a grandson, all of whom served before the destruction of Rome in 70 AD. Okay, now, all together, John 18, chapter 18, verse 10, you see this, the ear being struck off and Christ stopping Peter in verse 11. Now, the detachment of troops, the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. So they bind him, put him in, tie him up, and they take him away to Annas first, for he was the father of the high priest, who was high priest that year. That year is what I was focusing on earlier. Verse 14. Now it was Caiaphas who gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. We study that in Luke as well, where he says, you guys don't know anything. We ought to kill this person because it's better to kill one than to have Rome come and kill us all. And the gospel writer says that he did this not knowing so, but he was actually functioning as a prophet on behalf of the nation, that Christ would die for the nation. Verse 15, Simon Peter followed Jesus, so did another disciple, that is John. John was with him. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. So these homes, they have a door on the street. You don't go into the front yard. Why would you waste all that good space? Plus, it's not safe. You have a walled courtyard, and then on the street is a door. It's like this in Africa. You have high walls with barbed wire and glass in the concrete, and it's the door is right on the street. And so you always have to stand outside and knock or honk the door, and there's always somebody at home. You don't ever leave your house with no one at home. But then they open the door and you drive in. It's the same kind of deal. Now, John was known, and so when he got there and knocked on the door, they let him in, and he went inside. Verse 15, now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door outside. Then the other disciple, that is John, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. So he didn't make it past the bouncer, this servant girl, but John, whom she knew, went back and said, hey, let this guy in. He's a good guy. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? Expecting a positive answer, actually. You're one of his, aren't you? And he said, I am not. There's his first denial. He's tripped up by the servant girl. You'll find that God is very gracious. There are multiple servant girls in these trials. And you'll see that God gives Peter a second chance at exactly this same trial to pass it. But here, his first denial is actually at the house of Annas, and he said, "Nope, I'm not." And the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So Peter goes, says to the girl, "No, I'm not with him," and he goes right in and stands by the fire. This is at Annas' house, not Caiaphas' house. There's two barrels, there's two courtyards, there's more than one servant girl, okay? This house is 1 1/10 miles from the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's in the middle of the night. But I want to take you here because this is the only place where you see that the physical abuse of Christ begins. Now remember, this is Thursday night, early Friday morning. Christ has already taught and had the Passover with his disciples, then gone to the garden, went through the prayer time, and then was immediately arrested and walks through the night, an hour and a half, an hour to the Annas' house. Okay. Then the high priest, verse 19, then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." So this is a no-brainer. They say, "Well, what were you teaching?" And he says, "Well, go get the people that I taught. I never taught anything in secret. I taught it openly. You want to bring charges against me? Go get the people who listened to me." They were all there too. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who had stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" So this is the first trial. They take him to him because Annas is the high priest for life in their thinking. But he has no authority. He has no responsibilities in this situation. And so he sends him to Caiaphas. If you see in verse 24, then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So this would be illegal trial number two. It is a half hour trip, at least. It's a half a mile from Annas' house to Caiaphas' house. So he sends Christ bound through the streets of Jerusalem. It's probably about 2:30 in the morning when he finally gets to Caiaphas' house, who was high priest that year. Now, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Most of what I want to do with you is in Luke, because Luke makes his point of providing a history, but he doesn't give us that information about Annas. I'm in Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. And what Luke does is he allows for other parts of the narrative to be inserted into the scriptures. So they're not ever in conflict. Scripture is never in conflict. It's that each gospel writer has a purpose that's slightly different. So in verse 54, he says, "Now having seized him, they removed and brought him into the house of the high priest." Now this high priest that's referred to is actually Caiaphas. So the having seized him and they removed him, that is what Luke folds all of this, the trip to Annas' house, and puts it in that first phrase of verse 54. So they bring him to the house of the high priest. Now Peter was following at a distance, verse 55. Now having kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard, and having sat down together, Peter was sitting in the midst of them. So in Annas' house, he went right up to the barrel. Here he's in that area, in that fire, sitting with them. Okay, so he's sitting in the midst of them. And having seen him, a certain servant girl, parentheses, Peter is sitting next to the fire, and having gazed intently at him, she said, "This man also was with them." So this is the second time. In the first one, Peter lied, and he lied to the servant girl at the door. She opened the door and she said, "Hey, you're one of the Christ's disciples." And he lied and said, "No, I'm not." Here, she's looking at him from the light of the fire. And before all of them, she says, "Hey, this guy was with Christ." Verse 57, "But he denied it, saying, 'Woman, I don't know him.'" So, one thing you don't want to do is tell the servant girl she's wrong. That'll always get you into trouble. Because they are right. They usually know exactly what's going on in the household. And there's a number of them. We won't go to Matthew. And we might. We'll see. We do have to go to Matthew because Luke doesn't tell us what actually took place in Caiaphas' household. Verse 57, "And he denied it, saying, 'Woman, I don't know him.'" Verse 58, "And after a short while, another, having seen him, was saying, 'Indeed, you are one of them.'" And it's an imperfect tense. He said it a bunch of times. You were there. I saw you. It's a continual pushing that Peter was with Christ. "You are one of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." So he lied about Christ here again. He says, "No, I'm not part of it." "And after about 1 hour had passed, another one was very strongly," he was vehemently corroborating or affirming, saying with an oath, "Upon truth, also this man was with him, for indeed he is Galilean." If I started to say, "I'm not Canadian," okay, by merely opening my mouth and arguing that I'm not Canadian, I don't have a Canadian accent, eh? It doesn't, no matter how Peter tried this, his goose was cooked as soon as he opened his mouth and started denying that he knew Christ. And so here's another man who's determined to get the truth out. Peter can't get away with this. But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're saying." And immediately while he was speaking, a rooster crowed. So you have the repetition of the servant girl, the opportunity. This is the third time that Peter denies Christ. And I want to take you just for a moment over to Matthew 26. And I want to show you what's going on in Caiaphas' house. Luke skips over that. But this is not something we want to skip over. Matthew chapter 26. And please verse 57. And then we'll come back to Luke again. So this was what was happening in the building. In the courtyard, Peter was swearing. If you look at verse 74, he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." But what was going on in the house, we see in verses 57 and following. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. "And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end." In other words, what's going to happen. "Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. So in the time from Annas' house to Caiaphas, they went and got witnesses." At Annas' house, they didn't have any witnesses. "Well, what were you teaching? Go ask the people I taught." So in the time from 10:30, 11 o'clock to this to this place, which now we're looking at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2:30, something like that. Now they have priests and elders and witnesses to bring false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Verse 60. But found no one. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, 2 false witnesses came forward. So they couldn't get the false witnesses to agree. Why couldn't they get the false witnesses to agree? Well, 1, because they were lying. 2, they hadn't had time to get their stories straight. It's an interesting view of this whole situation. But they finally get 2 who actually agree, verse 61, and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said to him," Christ, "'Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?' But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, 'I adjure you by the living God that you tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.'" So putting him under oath, are you the Messiah? Verse 64. And Jesus said to him, "It is as you said." That's an affirmative. Yes, was how we'd say it in English. Yes, I am. "Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." So he affirmed that he's the Messiah and he's going to sit next to the Father on his throne and he's going to come from heaven with power and glory. 65. The high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy." That's Caiaphas. "What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" And they answered and said, "He is deserving death." Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?" And then you have the story of Peter outside. So the abuse that started at Annas' house is ramped up exponentially here. He's here for about 4 hours. It's a long period of time, 3 to 4 hours that he's at Caiaphas' house. It took them a long time to get their false witnesses. Finally, they get to the degree Christ states who he is, and then they begin to abuse him. So in the house, in the building, Christ is testifying and being assaulted. In the courtyard, Peter is lying. Now, if you look at verse 1 of chapter, since you're in Matthew 27, look at chapter 27, verse 1. "When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death." So he goes from Caiaphas' house to the Sanhedrin, which the Sanhedrin would then convene, and that trial began shortly after sunup, which would be about 6 o'clock in the morning. But I want to focus here on Luke chapter 22. Look at verses 61 and 62. What we've seen is Annas' house, Caiaphas' house, and now look here at our omniscient Savior in Luke chapter 22, verses 61 and 62. So Peter has denied Christ multiple times, and did so while he's speaking, the rooster crows. I mean, he's swearing up a storm. He's a Galilean sailor. He's swearing like a sailor, saying he doesn't know Christ. And the rooster crows. Look at verse 61. "And having turned, the Lord looked at Peter." Now, how is this possible? And here's how this works. They had him bound, and they were beating him, they were spitting on him, they were abusing him, this bound prisoner in the house of Caiaphas. Finally, the sun begins to dawn. It's 5:30 in the morning, right before sunrise, And they now are going to take Christ bound to the Sanhedrin, where they will formally convene and condemn him to death. So having been beaten, and now they're leading him out of Caiaphas's house, bound, and as he's going out, Christ stops the procession, turns, looks across the courtyard, and in the firelight, he sees Peter. And he stops, and he looks at him. Very powerful, powerful passage. That in all of the abuse and all of the torture that Christ is undergoing, as he's being led, bound to the next phase of his death, he stops the whole procession, turns, and looks across that courtyard and sees Peter. A lot can be conveyed in a look. And Peter is right then at that moment swearing up one side and down the other that he doesn't even know Christ. And his master, who is in the beginnings of his suffering, already bloodied, already abused, his face drenched with spittle, bound, stops the procession and looks at his number one disciple. And Peter remembered. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he said to him, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Simply looking at Peter in that courtyard brought it all back. Remember, Satan wanted to sift Peter like, he wanted to shake him like a rag doll in our figures of speech. He said, "No, man, I'm good for this. I've got it. Prison, death, I can do this." Christ says, "When you're converted, strengthen your brothers." This is Peter's conversion. Not when he's saved, it's when he realizes he better change his nomenclature. He better say, "If the Lord wills, if God gives me strength." Peter remembered. And having gone out, he wept, wailed bitterly. Peter came to the end of himself at that point, and he wept. Christ is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything. He sees everything. And here in the midst of his phase of punishment, he stops and goes and collects Peter with a simple look. This morning, what do you have that you need to deal with? Our sin is ultimately between God and ourselves, not us and other people. But we all get stuck like Peter does, like Peter did. And I'm so glad that we have an omniscient Savior who cares enough about us to stop and give us that look and say, "Really? Is this really what you want to be? Is this really who you want to be? Is this really who you are?" Peter came to his senses and he wept bitterly. We'll see later in Luke how Christ goes and restores him. And he became a tremendously effective leader in the church. Actually founded the church in some sense. What do you have to deal with this morning between you and your God? Well, deal with it. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help.